Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I'll be happy to address Mutt's criticism later on in the hour if you'd like.
All right. Yeah, why not?
Happy to go there with him.
Sure.
And we'll talk about it.
Okay.
We've got some folks on the line who want to talk some more about Tom Brady and football.
That's true.
And Tom E. Curran will join us at the top of the hour and kind of add to the mix here with a very detailed study he made of every single throw that Tom Brady made in Sunday's game. And broke it down in terms of how was the protection on the throw? How was the throw itself? How was the receiver on the throw?
I was going to say, you know what Tom has set himself up for is if Brady has a bad game again,
he's got to do this again.
Yeah, I think so. This is pretty cool. This is a good idea. So going forward, rest of the year, I think this could be a pretty good exercise to go through and really, really break down what you saw.
So we'll talk to Tom at the top of the hour. We'll continue to talk with you guys right now. And Bill is in Exeter. Bill, you're next on Sports Radio. Hold on. Let me hit this again. Dale and Keith. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to, you know, I'm not blindly defending Brady, but if you look at other quarterbacks where they've had AIDS as Eli and Peyton did, I mean, Brady's been a Superman for his whole career, and I just think, you know, his age is starting to show, but he's still miles ahead of both of those two players where they're at with their age.
Yeah, I think if you're comparing him to those guys, sure, but I guess if you're talking about this team winning a Super Bowl, like, is he good enough for that?
I mean, I think he is. I think the more, you know, the more hate that people throw at him, he's just going to keep fueling because he showed down the stretch that he continuously gets it done. He continuously, you know, provides great throws to these players, even though maybe earlier in the season he hasn't done it.
I mean, maybe. I mean, he's obviously a guy, he's hard to bet against. There's no doubt about that. But if you remember last year, he did kind of limp to the end a little bit. And then the playoffs, he was great.
Right.
The playoffs, he was fantastic. So he's, because that was some of the question, and it's easy to forget. But if you go the end of 2017, the month of December, he wasn't great. Now, the team went 4-1 over their last five games, but his numbers weren't particularly very good. He started to throw interceptions, and you're saying, all right, what's this going to look like? Then he gets in against Tennessee, Jacksonville, and even in the loss against Philly was lights out. So he finished the season really strong.
My gut feeling is a week from Sunday, he's going to be great. He's going to throw for like five touchdowns and 400 yards because he's going to be playing against a Jets team that stinks.
Yeah, correct.
I think the three games after that, those will tell the tale. Those will give you a much better indication of where Tom Brady is. Don't be fooled if you see big numbers out of him against the Jets a week from Sunday.
Yeah, it's when you're getting into even the Dolphins, which are a stiffer test than anybody else in the AFC East right now, the Vikings and the Steelers, that is going to be a whole lot different.
That's when you've got to figure things out. And look, he may defy age again and come out over the final six games and look like the Tom Brady of old. The only point we've made is that through the first 10 games of the season, taken as a whole, he's been less than what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some really good moments. There's been some really good throws. But then on the flip side, there's been other times where he just doesn't look as sharp. And it's, you know, certain passes. And I understand some of it is, like, you can come up with all these different reasons that you sort of twist yourself into about new receivers or, you know, certain defenses and all this other stuff. But just as a whole, we've gotten a pretty good sample size here. And it does seem a little bit worse than a year ago.
Jason's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Hey, so I guess my biggest issue, guys, is it's more or less on the defensive side of the ball. I don't want to really pick on Brady so much as to acknowledge the fact that our defense is still crap. Our linebackers have no speed. You know, we should have went out in the trade deadline. We should have made a couple moves to improve that defensive side of the ball because there's no reason why we should be allowing a mediocre team like Tennessee to put up 34 points.
Well, not only is Tennessee, I think, mediocre, and there'll be a fringe kind of playoff team, maybe. It was a huge win for them, big game for them. But that was, we're spending a lot of time on Brady today, but allowing 34 points to a team that had never scored 30 all season long, that was pretty damning. Like, that was hard to watch. Marcus Mariota, you know, going up and down the field on him. And Deion Lewis, who is having a good year, they contained him
pretty well.
He wasn't
even that good.
Corey Davis was crushing him, so you're right. The defense, That was pretty ugly to see. And what's really worse, too, is the week before, I don't think the Packers are great. I stand by that. But Aaron Rodgers is great, and they did a nice job on him. They held him to under 20 points, and you said, all right, progress. Like, we're seeing something here from the defense, whereas earlier they were outscoring teams like Kansas City or outscoring the Chicago Bears. But But they did a pretty nice job against the Green Bay Packers, I thought. And then they follow that up with just a real bad performance against the Titans.
John's in Connecticut. Well, I'm trying here, John. There we go.
There
hey, John.
Is. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? Thanks
Great.
For taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm calling from Groton, Connecticut. Been a season ticket holder for 18 years. And
nice.
I've watched Brady come into the game when Bledsoe went down. I've watched our team have really good defenses, really crappy defenses, really good offensive lines, not so good offensive lines. You know, the years that Skarnecchia fell out, our offensive line went to crap. He's back. We're getting a little bit better. But what a lot of people aren't talking about right now is the mental preparation, the reps that you have to have, the continuity that you have to have with your players. And we've watched so many people just on the offense come in and out over the last few weeks. That has got to be a huge factor, not just receivers, not just tight ends, not just running backs. Because, I mean, we were stacked heavy at running back at the beginning of the season, and then we went to crap.
You yeah, know? And
but
part
the
of that
mental preparation
yeah.
of just practicing with the players that we have, doing the reps, talking to, continuity. Nobody's talking about that. That has to be a huge factor. I've looked at the stats because I'm a huge stat guy.
True.
I looked at the
stats
from Brady of past because we're looking at the ghost of Christmas Brady past moving on to Cincinnati.
Right.
Well, we're moving on to the New York Jets with a bye week. And
okay.
I think you're right. I think we're going to see a Brady come out who's going to be much sharper, who's going to have continuity, and is going to do much better. And we should be talking about every single phase or every
yeah.
single aspect of the New England Patriots right now, just not harping on Brady, because, my gosh, I mean, have we not said enough? Can we just, like, put this to bed and say that, yes, he had a bad game, but it's not the worst season. 10 games, I would match 10 games
uh-huh.
the years that we were 12-4, 11-5, and 10-6, and he didn't have a whole lot of depth to throw to then, and he didn't have a whole lot of players moving out, or maybe he did, but I mean, let's just see how this plays out over the next 3 games, and then we could say, yeah, Brady's falling off a cliff, or we could say, yep, it was just a matter of a lot of players coming in and out. Look what happened when Trey Flowers left.
There's a lot to unpack there, Dale.
And I got to be honest with you, we're not just talking about the game on Sunday. We've been talking about Brady all season long.
But what do you think? We should put a pin in it and come back in 3 weeks?
It's not all of it?
It's not exactly how it works, necessarily. It
sort of defies the whole sports talk
yeah,
radio.
It's tough to not.
Paradigm, doesn't it?
Talk about it. We have talked about, you know, there are several points in there. Let me try to jump on one of them about the turnover.
Take your pick.
Right? So no Brandon Cooks, no Danny Amendola, no Deion Lewis, even Solder, if you want to include him. Those guys are all gone. And you're working with new teammates. I feel like that happens a lot, though, with Brady, and he is able to overcome it. Maybe it's an added challenge that he shouldn't have as often as he has throughout his career. But I thought the return of Julian Edelman, who is one of the most favorite receivers he has ever had, the return of Edelman, I thought, was going to offset maybe the loss of some of those other guys. You know, Chris Hogan was a teammate of his for the last few years, and he used to throw him the ball. Now
used
he doesn't.
To, yeah.
But, like, that's not a new guy. Like, so there are times...
No, he's throwing the ball a lot to the new guy.
So for the idea of all the turnover that the team has had, and I'm not saying that they haven't had any. I just rattled off all the names. But if you look at the guys who are targeted the most on the Patriots this season, James White's the most targets, Julian Edelman second, then Josh Gordon, who's new, then Gronkowski, then Chris Hogan. So out of the five guys that he has thrown to the most, four of them he's played multiple seasons with. Right? So, like, isn't he a little bit more familiar with the guys than maybe people are giving him credit for?
I don't think familiarity is the problem here.
Okay. I don't either. I mean, I understand. So Josh Gordon does not have a great, you know, catch per target rate. He has 26 catches and 49
targets. By the way, he's never had a great catch per target
rate. And part of it is the kind of player that he is.
Right.
If you're going downfield, you're not going to be able to cherry pick some of those stats with all these 2 yard screen passes and everything else. So that's one guy, and I can understand trying to get him involved more in October, November, so he's ready to go December, January. Like, I get that part of it. But those other guys, he has a pretty good idea of you know what they're capable of.
Richie's in Boston. Hey, Richie.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
First thing, Rich, I agree with what you were saying about after the Green Bay game that the defense looked a lot better.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to go into Tennessee and, you know, take care of business, then have the bye week, you know. But apparently not.
Right.
And it's easy to say, you know, come after the bye, we play New York and we'll roll over them and Brady will put up stats. And
they probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and, I mean, you're probably right, though. But in reality, you know, that's what we thought we were going to do to Tennessee, you know. But with Brady, I think everything that's been said has been is true. I think he's, you know, he's not looking like himself. But the one thing that's going for him is Brady's his own, you know, biggest critic. You know, I think Brady knows exactly what he's doing wrong. And I think that he's going to, you know, utilize the bye week and really try to get things together. And also, I agree that he should be going for, you know, looking at Hogan a little more. Because after watching Tennessee and Edelman going over the middle, getting crushed, I mean, he was getting hammered to the point where, you know, came out of the game or whatnot. You know, he didn't want to get hit anymore. We need to utilize, you know, every option, including Hogan. And I don't know if it's because in the beginning of the year, he missed a couple, you know, good passes, and Brady kind of lost trust in him. But I'm all about targeting Gordon, but we need to go to Hogan too, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Richie. And I don't even think Hogan's that great. Even when he was, I think he led the league a couple years ago in yards per catch. I never thought he was great. So you don't need to force the ball to Hogan. Like, if he's covered, forget about it. But if he's left wide open, I mean, that's when you got to get him involved rather than throwing to Josh Gordon in double, sometimes it felt like triple coverage. Like, go ahead and throw to a wide open Chris Hogan and see what he can do with it.
Rocking the midday with Dale Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
I'm talking when I'm talking!
What you saying, who you saying to?
On WEEI.
Matt Kalman writes.
Do you think they know much? You know, yes. All these people.
Well, I think Dale knows. I think Dale's not going to say it on the air, but I think Dale and people around the, and I'd say just Dale, but the TV guys know. This is what happens.
But there's certain.
You're gossiping.
Nobody appreciates.
They have an idea.
Anymore. It's just talking.
Beat guys
okay,
are texting. The Nesson
thing,
guys
but
know.
Knowing
yes.
is another.
And I
so
didn't
you think
go around.
Dale's
saying
lying.
Yes,
much?
I think all the Nesson guys know. I think the TV guys for the Red Sox know when stuff is going on that people don't necessarily
but
know.
But you don't know.
The radio guys know. I plenty of things have been.
So why don't you
whisper
about?
You,
really?
Because you don't know for fact, but I'm sure in this case it's been long enough where I think that they know why they're not reporting it. They feel like it's a personal issue. It doesn't impact the reporting on Tuukka Rask. I guess you can debate that.
Well, that was this morning. Mutt and, well, Drellick was on as well, but Mutt and Jerry. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the Tuukka Rask situation for people, just to catch people up. He was given a leave of absence by the team over the weekend to address what the team called personal issues. He met with the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, on Monday. He returned to practice on Tuesday. He addressed the media briefly on Tuesday, got on a plane with them, and
that was
flew to Denver.
Odd too.
Yeah.
Said, he's like, I wasn't going to quit. We're like, yeah, okay.
Well, and by the way, that was in response to a question from Kevin DuPont,
okay,
who asked him if he contemplated retirement.
Like,
and
what?
So, because we thought if he just brought it up on his own, that's a weird sort of thing to bring up.
Yeah, that was.
But
out
he did actually respond to a direct question
right.
about it, and I said, you know, in the aftermath of this, that I don't know what the situation is. I'm sorry to break the news to Mutt, but I don't know. I know a whole bunch of rumors. I mean, I've got about 10 or 12 of those babies.
Oh, you don't have to go very far to find them.
No, and you know, the TV guys, to use Mutt's term.
People? Well, I think Dale knows.
To use Mutt's term, the TV guys, yeah, we know a whole bunch of rumors.
Sure.
I don't know anything. Tuukka Rask hasn't told me, this is why I took the leave of absence. Bruce Cassidy hasn't told me, this is why he took the leave of absence. What I've heard is a whole bunch of rumors. Now, sorry, I'm not comfortable going on the air with any of those.
Well, no, you don't know. That's
apparently the guys across the street are. They're saying marital problems. The afternoon drive
show. Oh, that's
what
they're going with?
He's not married, but that's beside the point.
So, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to be. Maybe he's in love.
It seemed like they jumped on Warm Take Wednesday early, too.
I guess so.
They might have.
Save it for today, fellas.
So they've been willing to go on the air with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not. But let's take it one step further.
Okay.
Let's assume for the sake of our argument that I do know. And I don't. But let's say I do know. And again, I don't know what this situation is, but let's say I know that, you know, he's having relationship issues with the mother of his child.
Okay.
Why would I go on the air with that?
Breaking news?
Is it?
Well, yeah, if nobody else had it.
But is it breaking? Is it news?
Yeah.
If he's got a relationship issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he had to take some time off because his mom has been diagnosed with an illness and you know, he wanted to get her to Boston to get treated.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go on the air with that if I knew that?
Because nobody knows what it is. So I guess, you know, that's the reason why. If somebody did know, that's why they would go with it, I guess.
Is that news or is that?
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's not personal.
It's personal news.
It has nothing to do with him. Like, he's a hockey player.
Right.
We cover all of that. If he has a bad game, we cover all that.
Yeah.
If he says it's a personal issue and I want to keep it that way, I would then go on the air with it. Why? Do Bruins fans want to know? Okay, well, it's his mom was sick, or he's got a relationship issue, or
personal reasons. There's such an umbrella there that some things would make people sympathetic towards you. Others would say, depending on what it is, right?
Sure.
If it's a sick mother,
you take all the time you need.
Like there's different things. Like if it's life or death, like there's certain things. But if it's something else, you say, seriously? Like, you're a professional athlete, you're making $7 million. Like, I think there would be some of that. Now,
well, a professional athlete making $7 million still has personal issues just like you and I do. And we don't, well, you might make $7 million. I don't.
No, not yet. I'm getting there. Contract's up soon. So
I'm
on my way. But I would look at it. I don't need to know exactly what it is, but I think it's fair to question, can you count on this guy? And I would say no.
Oh, you can ask all of that.
That's what I would say.
And that's fine.
That's the bigger issue.
And we've even theorized that, you know, some of the soft goals he's given up this year are because his mind is elsewhere.
Yeah.
That I have no issue. No, and we've talked about that.
Right.
My point is, and again, let me stress, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. Short of about 10 or 12 rumors that have been thrown at me.
Yeah, that's easy.
I don't know.
Right.
But if I did, would I have an obligation to go on the air and say it?
I mean, are you TMZ Sports? If Dale TMZ, then yeah, you would. Like, you, because nobody knows what it is. So if some person said they knew exactly what it is,
I've had about a dozen people tell me
they know
exactly what it is.
Okay, well, and they're all different,
and none of them are named Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so he wants to keep it in house. The Bruins want to keep it in house. They said it was personal, you know, and they could have covered it more so.
They could have lied. They could have said, yeah, he tweaked his ankle. You know, we're going to keep him off the ice for the next couple of days.
They could have done that or something else. Or we've seen players go on the bereavement leave. Or we've seen all
this. And obviously it wasn't that.
It wasn't that.
That's actually, there's a designation for that. It wasn't bereavement. It was what he called personal issues.
No, and I
and what the team called personal issues.
Yeah. And
do we have an obligation to report those personal issues if we know them?
I guess it depends on what they are, right? If it's a personal issue, like we had a caller yesterday say he found out that Halak was going to start more and he pouted and he left. Well, then that I think we should know. That really speaks to the character. But if it is marital issues or if it's a sick relative, that really isn't our business. I would agree with you on that. But I also think as far as the hockey team is concerned, it is very fair, especially for a player like Tuukka Rask who has bagged out of games because of the flu for the Bruins, for Team Finland, for whatever. It's fair to ask, okay, crunch time, can you rely on this guy? And if he's starting the season this way, then I think the answer is definitely no. Like I'm not a Tuukka basher. Like there's a lot of people in two camps. There's there's Tuukka. You can't win a cup with Tuukka. And then there's a smaller group, but there's the defend Tuukka at all costs people. I guess I'm neither. Like I think he's a good goalie, not a great goalie, but I am concerned about whether or not you can rely on him come, you know, either late games at the end of the season to try to make sure you're in the playoffs or for seeding or even come playoff time. I'd be a little concerned about him.
Well, when he plays Friday or Saturday,
right,
we'd certainly be curious to see how he performs based mm-hmm. on some of the things we've seen from him this year. Again, I don't know. I don't know when this personal issue started. I don't know if it started last Friday. I don't know if it started in October, whatever it is.
I'm just trying to because I've heard a lot of rumors too, like everybody has, or you can even create your own. But look, the rumors that I've heard, I'm just trying to think how many things could be with you for a couple of weeks. Like even take your own life into account. A couple of weeks, and then you take a couple of days off from work to, quote, deal with the issues. When you come back to work, are they gone? No freaking way.
Probably
not. Maybe the further away you get from it, sure, everybody's had things happen to them in their life, and you don't think about some as much as time goes on. But I'd be surprised if, you know, taking a slight break from it and then coming back and like, all right, guys, like that's not on my mind anymore. I'm going to be good to go. Like that, I would be surprised if that's the case.
In the aftermath of, and I'm not, believe me, trying to go back to this discussion, my point is, in the aftermath of Malcolm Butler being benched, how many stories did we hear?
Oh,
a dozen of them.
Easy. Easy dozen. Yeah. And then offshoots of those. So it was probably.
Now, I could go 50. On the air and state them as fact.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have known, but I could do that. I could come on the air and state as fact what was wrong with Tuukka Rask. I don't know.
No, you don't.
I'd be wrong to do it. It would actually be negligent on my part.
But that is sort of a.
The idea that Mutt says, "Oh, he knows. He's just lying about it."
No, I don't. I don't think that you know. But I also don't think that everybody around the team would necessarily know. I mean, I think
my guess is there are some members of the team who do. As I said, I think he's closest with Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
My guess is his best friend on the team probably knows.
But I bet that gets around pretty quickly. I bet the team knows. I bet Tuukka probably didn't talk to all 24 guys, but I bet he talked to a couple guys, asked. A couple guys might not care. A couple guys are like, whatever, I'm just doing my job. But
obviously, Don Sweeney and Bruce Cassidy know. He had to say to them.
Yeah. You know, Cam knows.
What he couldn't do is sit across the desk from Don Sweeney and say, look, something personal's come up. I need a few days.
He needs to know.
Yeah, he needs to know. And I'm sure that there are people. I know there are people who know.
And they were good with it, too, because they allowed him to leave rather than, you know, forcing him to stay. And who knows how that would have gone. But then it was also up to Tuukka when he was going to return. Right, like they didn't say, you better be back. Here's
I understood
deadline.
They left it pretty open-ended. Yeah. I mean, the way it was described
and it
really by Sweeney.
It wasn't that long. He was only away from the team for, what?
Three days?
I think it was 3 days. And now, obviously, he's not going to play for, like, the, you know, time in between starts is going to be a while because we're not going to see him until Friday or Saturday. But, yeah, it really is a...
The larger question for me is there some obligation to write in the newspaper, to go on the radio, to go on TV... and say the reason Tuukka Rask was gone for 3 days was because this, this, and this. And let's take the whatever issue, because he broke up with the mother of his daughter, whatever it is. Is there some obligation to go on the air and say that?
I think it's interesting because the players are such public figures, right? We care so much about the team, and you want to know, oh, this guy has an ankle injury, like, why isn't he there? And their jobs are so unique that once the season starts until it ends, they're supposed to be there. Like, they're supposed to be out there. And if they're not, people care so much about it. Like, why aren't they out there? But is personal reasons enough for some people?
Well, it was enough for Don Sweeney, obviously.
Yeah.
It was enough for Don Sweeney to say, you go take care of what you got to take care of.
Right.
It was enough for Bruce Cassidy, who said basically the exact same thing. I'm curious about the idea of, you know, well, you have to go on the air and say it.
Yes.
If you know it, you have to say it.
Well, I mean,
if I know that he hurt his ankle.
I mean, do you make
that he's missing time because, you know, he threw his shoulder out of its socket.
I mean, if you're Scoops Arnold and you're trying to, you know, become a newsbreaker, then yeah, you would. But if not, we can still discuss the topic with knowing personal reasons the umbrella. And so that's how I looked at the whole situation. It's like, all right, here we go. Here's a guy that I don't know if his head will be in it all season, and I don't know if you can trust him. And unless they give you the actual reason for it, it does allow you to speculate more. Now, I'm not going to sit here and just guess what it is, but I'm going to try to figure out, all right, how does this impact the team going forward and him specifically?
If there was some connection, if his personal issues was connected to another player on the team,
yeah.
And by the way, none of the 12 rumors I've heard have that as part of it.
I was going to say, we heard plenty of rumors as it related to Tyler Seguin, like when they traded him away, and those were never really...
And people wondered why I wouldn't go on the air and say it.
Yeah.
Oh, that used to happen all the time. Come on, Dale, you know, just say it. No.
Well, even those, I don't know. Do you know for fact? And again,
no, I don't know for fact.
No, that's the whole idea.
But there are people who say, you got to go on the air and say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant to do that.
Yeah, I understand.
Like I said, the guys across the street apparently have decided that he's got relationship issues.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their source is.
I don't know either. Probably one of the 10 or 12 people who have given me crap.
I said just text.
Because that's among the rumors that I've heard.
Check the text line. And I'm sure there's plenty of rumors on there.
By the way, within minutes of the announcement, the text line, which I'm not even looking
had
at anymore.
Theories, yeah.
Oh, I had a bunch of them show up then.
Keefspiracy.
Oh, this is what happened. I'll tell you right now. This and this and this, you know. And so do they think you're going to rush on the air with that news?
You're like, this just in from the 617. Yeah, you're not doing that.
So in answer to Mutt's statement earlier this morning, and I don't much care if he believes it or not, no, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard lots of stuff. Maybe one of the 10 or 12 things I've heard is true, but I don't know it. But I got to be honest with you, if I did know it, I'm not sure I'd feel obligated to go on the air and say it.
What if you're the beat reporter for the team? Is that different? Because, I mean, you're there kind of, you are breaking news from the team. Like, if you have certain inside information, you're going to sort of pass that along.
Look, it's a valid question. If a beat reporter knew, and again,
yeah.
I'm just giving an example.
Let's say he's 100% sure, like, or like had a super trusted source.
He broke up with. So,
yeah.
Would you feel obligated to write that if you're a beat guy? If you're.
I mean, you'd be alone.
Fluto Shinzawa or one of those guys, Steve Conroy, would you feel, oh, I got to get this out there?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird spot to be in because everything about these guys is for public consumption. But then when something is a personal matter, do you leave it alone or do you dive into it?
What would you do?
I would, if I knew 100% what it was and I was a beat writer, I'd probably report it.
In the position you're in right now, if you knew 100% what it was, would you feel, I got to go on the air with this?
If I knew what it was, yeah. Depending on what it was, I would. Yeah. Like if I knew it was, because again, I think if it was something like, he has a sick relative, then I think people end up sympathizing for him.
Yeah, but what if the sick relative doesn't want that out there? That's why he's kept it personal.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I guess. So let's, and again, we're making stuff up to
make
the
point. Yeah, I have no idea. We have no idea what it is.
No. And let's say his mom has cancer.
Yeah.
And he's got to get her here from Finland so that she can get the best cancer treatment in the world. And you find that out.
Yeah.
I think mom doesn't want it out there. Mom doesn't want anybody to know.
Well, if I say sick relative, I don't think that puts the mom on notice or anything like that. I think you could do sick relative. And then that's its own thing. And then, okay, boom. If people want to dig deeper, let them dig deeper. But because there's probably, of all the different rumors that we've heard about it, it's probably really like five categories or like 3 to 5 categories of like what it could be.
As soon as you heard it.
Yeah.
My first thought was he's got somebody sick in his family.
Yeah, and so I think
his wife, and I wasn't sure if he was married or not.
Yeah.
His wife's sick. His mom's sick. His dad's sick. You got to take care of him. And everyone would understand that, as you said.
Because I think that ends a lot of speculation and questions about him. Like, and I think and it's very relatable. And you say, all right, hey, this guy's got to deal with it. Like, we know he's a professional athlete, but life's more important, and you're doing that. Because there are other certain things and other little rumors that we've heard that you say, Jesus, like, suck it up. Like, if that's really all that it is, suck it up. Or it might be something that's much more serious. So if I knew what it was, and depending on what it was, then I would probably, put it out there.
All right. I said I'd address it. I did. Some people won't like the addressing of it, it's all I have to offer.
That's right.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will join us at the top of the hour, and we'll get back to even more in-depth Tom Brady discussion, and he will kind of give us the short version of a very detailed article that he wrote. He broke down every single pass.
He
got right in there.
He really did. 41 pass attempts, broke them all down.
And so we'll talk to him at that at the top of the hour.
Yes.
617, 779-7937. Joe is in. Uh-oh. I hit the right button here. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
What's going on?
Sorry about the delay, fellas. Good afternoon. All right. Check it out. All of the Patriots' victories, except for one against Buffalo, come under the curtails of 98 rushing yards. Albeit either Tony Michel or a mixture, like in the first game with Rex Burkhead and so on and so forth. 41 years old, I don't think it's fair for us to necessarily say that Tom Brady's not playing the way he should be. I think that he's playing adequately. Maybe you could say
a slightly above average, even though I know it's number 16 or so. But the real issue here is when the Patriots can't get the ball moving, the fact that they already have two major injuries in the running game from early on in the season, I personally believe that once this Patriots, they get their running attack going in a consistent manner, maybe even get Rex Burkhead back to compliment Sony Michel. Now, I know James White's great, but he's not the
Joe, runner. It's not your
too
fault,
much,
but you're...
Too much. It, the running game. He wants the...
Well,
the
it's not even that.
Run.
It's the phone was driving me crazy.
No, but he's talking about the running game. So,
and the running game, the only reason the running game matters is that you don't want to give the defense the ability to just tee off. You want the threat of the run to be valid so that, you know, Tom Brady has that extra second or something, or the play action works better.
I mean, they did win two games with Cordell Patterson as the lead rusher. Now, he was pretty good against Green Bay.
Second one, he was actually pretty good.
He was pretty good, but against Buffalo, and maybe the answer is it's Buffalo, so it doesn't really matter. But they didn't run the ball all that well in that 25-6 win week 8 against the Bills. So, yeah, like you need a complimentary running game. You can't have Steven Jackson back there like a few years ago. That's not going to win any games. But if those guys can be a little bit better. The other part, he's talking about some of the losses and what the running games were like in the losses. Well, you had Sony Michel's first couple games, and he wasn't as good. So I'll give you that. But also, when you find yourself down, you're going to end up passing a lot too. So sometimes that can be a little bit skewed. Like, obviously, you're not going to run as well in losses, at least the way this team is set up.
Sam's in New Hampshire. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Great. How are you?
Good. I just want to say, if indeed that Brady is falling off the cliff, do you think that would irreparably harm his the TB12 brand?
Irreparably, no.
Yeah, I don't think it would kill it, but it certainly doesn't help. Like, I think every year that he is out there, it makes it better. But if he was bowed out after this year, let's say, he was still a 40-year-old MVP. So he still has that on the resume, which is, you can prop that up. What do you think?
All right. I think it kind of would. I mean, I think it would. I think he had to go to at least 43 or 44 for people to buy into it the way that he probably wanted them to. But, hey, Keith, also I want to say you look like a pretty cool dude to me. Don't let people get inside your head.
Oh, thanks, Sam. I mean, a lot of people think I'm ugly, but that's all right. You know.
That seems a little harsh. I mean, the whole...
Well, that was out there on Twitter. It was really aggressive.
Because Twitter is usually the place you go for compliments. So.
I go there just to give myself the old morale boost to go on there.
It's a good plan on your part.
Scroll through the notifications.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like Michael Holly used to say. He likes to read the comments.
Oh, yeah, really nice.
To articles. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's always up.
Well, people have sort of moved off the size of my head. They've sort of moved off of that just for a moment. But it really turned ugly, pun intended, just the other day, so...
Were they back to the size of the head thing?
No, just you're ugly. Like, your face sucks. Okay, yeah. So it was a lot of that, which is too bad.
At least you weren't fat-shamed by your co-producer.
That's a great point, Shime. He was absolutely body-bagged a couple of weeks ago by Rossi. So
this is
That is
insane.
Much worse than a couple of strangers who have, profile
no
pics.
No connection to you at all.
They have profile pics of, the Patriots logo calling me ugly. So I'm sure they're very handsome.
It gets a lot deeper. It hurts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Although people were talking about my weight at one point. It's a whole thing. The trifecta. Multiple chins, big head, ugly face.
It's a musical.
Oh, man. I guess it only makes you stronger, though,
Does it?
Yeah, well.
I'm not sure.
Kind of sad, too.
Bobby's in Connecticut. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Could be better.
I think you guys are being a little bit too subjective. You need to be a little more objective towards Tom.
Okay.
Definitely. Listen, I've been a fan since 1965.
Oh, nice.
Listen, this guy, who's the only team that beat the Chiefs?
I know. It's the Patriots, yeah.
Was he falling off the cliff then that day? I don't know. You tell me. Okay?
All right, so...
Did you watch the Tennessee game?
Bobby, help me out here because you're objective more than we are.
Right.
You've seen 10 games this year that Tom Brady's played.
And even more going back to 65.
No, but let's stick with these 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
How do you think he's playing?
He's definitely off the mark.
Okay, that's what we said.
I'm not taking away from the fact that what exists. But I'm not going to color it more than what it is, okay? I think... Basically, yeah, he's 41. I'm not going to hang that up on him. The bottom line is this. He's got a revolving cast of receivers. He's never had anything like Peyton Manning's had all through his career, okay? He's never had what Ben Roethlisberger's had all through his career, or the other greats there, Aaron Rodgers. There's no consistency in his cast. They're constantly revolving. If the O-line did their job on Sunday, the outcome wouldn't have been different. And I'll tell you, let's go back further. Let's go back to the Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
They don't strip sack him at the end of the game because the O-line protected him. Tom Brady's got 2 minutes to go, okay? He wins the game. You going to debate that?
Usually you feel pretty good about that.
He fumbled, but you can't have perfect offensive line play all the time. That's not realistic.
Well, you know what?
What?
Play more consistent than what they are.
Same with him.
Really, you think?
Yeah,
of course I do. Yes.
The bus? Come on now.
What? Throw anybody
Bobby,
under
Bobby,
the bus.
Bobby, all we
you're,
said
you're
was
everybody else.
If you break his numbers down for this year, he's
okay.
So that's all. He's not a middle of the pack quarterback. He's not.
Everybody's compared Aaron Rodgers to being the greatest because of how he can throw, the way he throws. He's like a gunslinger like Brett Favre was, right?
I don't know why we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Let's stick, right, let's stick to the point on Brady.
We just beat him, right?
Oh, yeah. My God. What? Okay, so Brady, what the hell was that, Bobby?
Bobby, and by the way, when I asked him how he was doing, he said, well, he's not doing as well as he usually
That's
does.
That's the whole point. That's the whole
That's
point.
What we were
and now
saying.
He's like, oh, they beat Aaron Rodgers? No kidding. The Packers also don't have a great team.
Look, they're still going to win the division. They're still going to be in the playoffs.
Yes.
They are still probably a top five team in the NFL right now.
Yeah,
your quarterback, I've seen some of the power rankings that have got him like fifth or something.
No, that's probably right. I mean, Rams and Saints and Chiefs, I think everybody has to put above them. Even though I understand they beat the Chiefs, but the Patriots also lost to the Titans. I don't think they're worse than the Titans, so you can't just kind of win-loss it that way. Just the way these teams have played through 10 weeks, some combination of Rams, Saints, Chiefs are in the top three. Patriots are probably as high as four. Maybe I really like the Steelers. I still don't, or the Chargers. I'd still go Patriots, but I could understand if they were fifth on your list.
Dave's on the cell phone. Hey, David, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Doing good.
Good. I was just thinking about your question about personal information and what you would or would not disclose. I'm in the healthcare field, and I can think of a million things. Keith was saying that, well, maybe whatever it is, it couldn't possibly be resolved in a couple of days. But when you think about certain situations, particularly with women, whether, you know, you get somebody whose wife or girlfriend has a miscarriage, okay? You get things like that just need to be addressed. And they're nobody's business but the individual's personal business. And I don't think they ought to be reported on in any way, shape, or form.
See, now you just hit upon one, and we were giving theoreticals earlier, but you just hit on one. Let's just say that was it. Would I go on the radio and say that? Hell no.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, Keith was talking about whether or not it's going to be resolved or how you can resolve something like that in 2 days. It's not something that would necessarily stick with you.
It might, or it might not,
but it's something that needs to be addressed. It could be addressed in a couple of days, as you know, and then the guy's back with the team. You know, I'm just using that as an example. I'm just saying there are things like that are personal issues, medical issues that you wouldn't want to disclose to anybody.
But I think what it does is it ends the speculation, because by not reporting it and just giving the umbrella answer of it's a personal matter, that's how they chose to deal with it. But then that also leads to a zillion different conspiracy theories and guessing on what it could be.
John's on the cell phone. Hey, John, how are you?
What's up, John?
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm just going to agree with the previous caller there. If they say it's a personal matter, you don't talk about it. That's the definition of a personal matter.
Okay. Yeah, case closed, then. I don't know. I think these guys, probably unfair, but it has become part of the deal. Like, they are just so high profile, all the four major sports, and their job is so very unique, where, all right, here's your season. It starts here, and it ends here. Then you have the off season. Go do whatever the hell you want in the off season. But from the start date to the end date, you kind of expect these guys to play, and when they don't, they usually give a reason. It's either an injury, or it's bereavement leave, or it's whatever else. And then so the personal issue becomes sort of that gray area where the player, they at least give you that reason. So they begin to tell you why the player is no longer there and performing for his team, but they won't give you everything. And I just think all the speculation might be worse than just saying what it is, or at least getting a little bit more specific. You don't have to say his mom and then name the mom's name and say exactly what she has. But if you say a family member is sick or whatever it is, if you get a little bit closer to it, then I think that clears up a lot of answers or clears up a lot of questions.
Tim's in Quincy. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good.
So I just think what you're saying about Brady is complete nonsense. I don't think a team that goes 7-3, a QB's falling off a cliff. I think that.
By the way, just for the record, that's Rob Parker saying that, not us.
I think Tom Brady has played great this season. And with the injuries, with the schedule, I think he's been able to pull off a great season so far. 7-3 is not anything to frown about.
What's the problem with the schedule?
No, he's saying because they're 7-3 against the schedule, he's saying it's good.
Yeah, and so not even that. Like, Gronk's been out.
Yeah,
the running backs have been out.
But I think he has set such a high bar for himself that every year they're 12-4 or 13-3, and every year it seems like
Are they not on pace to go 12-4 or 13-3?
I think that's going to be really hard.
No, I mean, I think it'll be tough. They got 6 games left. And
they've still
got
to play the Vikings and Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be really hard.
It could be 11-4. So whatever.
At worst, they're 11-5. Do you guys see the other QBs in the rest of the league?
Yeah, they all have a better quarterback rating.
I couldn't disagree more.
Well, that's
to say disrespectful to Tom Brady.
No, but it's a statement
facts,
of fact.
Tim, what are you talking about? Just look at the numbers. You can get any website. He's 16th in quarterback rating. There's 32 starting
QB
quarterbacks.
Rating.
What?
Sorry, 16th in QB rating.
That's what I said.
All right. So, but does winning matter or? Like,
all right. There are teams with better records too. What's your point? There are teams with better records.
How many teams are there with better records?
Well, there's three in the AFC that have a better record.
Okay, so we're the fourth best team in football.
No, in the AFC. In all of football, they're sixth.
Yes, in the AFC, we're the fourth best team.
All right, you said in football, so that's wrong. So in the AFC, they have fourth best record.
In the AFC.
In football in the AFC? Who says it that way? Anybody?
I did.
Okay, they're fourth. What's your point?
My point is that Tom Brady's having a winning record.
He has a winning record? So case closed then, Dale. They have a winning record.
7-3. Both the interceptors have been off-tipped passes.
Seriously? Seriously, Tim?
We're actually trying to keep it as objective as we can. All we're talking about
is... I didn't say get rid of them, did
I? No, God, no.
Good Lord. He's having a great season because they're fourth in the AFC. What happened to the expectations for this team? Now that's okay. Like, hey, as long as they're 9-7, like they're gonna be just fine. They're gonna win the division. It's Super Bowl or bust every year as long as Tom Brady is still the quarterback. And now this guy's taking a victory lap because they have the fourth best record in football in the AFC. Please.